I probably didn't have a room till I was about 13 or 14 years old, because not only Brother Shane, it was Sister Ashley, it was another friend of mine, Brother Travis, and somebody, I think Brother Tony as well. It's about three or four different people I shared my room with, so I didn't have a full room to myself till I was about 13 or 14 years old. And I had a futon, so you pulled the couch out, and that's where Brother Shane slept and everybody else did. And I always had to climb on the top bunk, and every morning I woke up, I think I hit my head on the ceiling every time, because that's how high, it was about that much, about an inch or two, you know, difference. But if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to be reading through all the Gospels, including Acts. It's only 13 verses. Don't worry. I had somebody, a couple people just looked at me. It's only four books and it's 13 verses. Amen. But Matthew chapter 28, Mark chapter 16, Luke 24, John 20, and Acts 1. And as you're turning there, I will say real quick for me and my wife, real quick, we thank y'all for the love that we have been shown, you know, for the last couple weeks that we've been here. It's not been an easy journey. It's been a journey, but we just love and appreciate all the love that has been showed to us. And we appreciate every single one of you, and we just love every single one of y'all. So for me and my wife, thank y'all so much. Amen. But Matthew chapter 28, we'll be reading out of verse 18 and 20. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Skipping over to Mark's gospel, we'll be reading out of Mark 16, verse 15. And verse 16, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And skipping over, I know it's a lot, but just bear with me. There's a reason why I'm doing this. We're skipping over now to Luke chapter 24, verse 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And he that repenteth and remission of sins shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Skipping over to John chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this to his brethren, or he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And last, but certainly not least, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto them both, unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This evening I'll be preaching, or to title my message here, committing to the commission. Committing to the commission. Stretch your hands toward heaven with me this afternoon and pray that the Lord will touch me this afternoon. Father, I pray you just touch me, Lord, and you anoint me right now, Father. I pray you just touch me, God. Lord, let our ears be open to listen, our minds be paying attention, Lord, and our hearts be wide open, Lord, to apply this message to our daily walk with you, God. Right now, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Committing to the commission. I'm going to lay a foundation, I promise. I won't be lengthy. Some has asked me, you know, are you a long-winded preacher? I'm not. But I am going to lay a foundation here for a minute. Many people will admire Jesus. Many people will attend church and they'll check that box every Sunday and every midweek saying, you know, I went to Sunday morning service and I went to the afternoon and I went to midweek. I've checked that box. You know, I've been with Christ on the days I need to be or I'm told I should be. Many sing songs about God and many sing songs about sacrifice and serving the Lord. And Lord, whatever you want me to do, God, I'll do it. Whatever, wherever you send me, Lord, I will follow. We sung the song today. Wherever you want me, God, I will be with you and I will dwell with you always. Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go. But it's one thing to say and to sing it. It's another thing, as we know, to do it. How many come every Sunday and just lift up their hands and worship God and they'll sit there for a minute and I'm not saying because I'm up here, but the pastor will get up and preach and we would barely ever say amen or raise our hand and say hallelujah. We rarely say things, you know, to give praise to God. We go through our busy week and our work schedule and the busy times through the week and we'll maybe give 2 hours in a whole week to God. We just check that box and say, well, I gave my 10 minutes a day to God. I got on my knees and say, Lord, help me as I make it through the day, and I'm good. We read our 2 chapters for the day, and I think I'm okay. That's what many do. Listen, few are committed to Him and His message. Few will actually pursue an active relationship with God, and fewer, I dare to say, are committed to His commission that He gave us in the Gospels and Acts. Few are living in a relationship and fewer are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Commitment means saying, I'm all in. Hallelujah. I'm all in. Even when it's uncomfortable, inconvenient, or even unpopular, I am all in, Lord. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do. I'm going to commit my life to you. I'm going to sacrifice all. I'm going to do everything that you want me to do. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, He left a final command that has echoed through the centuries, century after century. Go, make disciples, be my witnesses, preach, baptize, teach, forgive, and love others. This is our purpose. And if we follow Christ, we must be committed to the commission that He told us to do. The story, I'm probably going to pronounce the name wrong, but the story of Hernan Cortez. In the year 1519, a Spanish explorer named Hernan Cortez set sail from Cuba to the land that is now known as Mexico. He wasn't going on vacation. He was leading a bold and a dangerous expedition to conquer the mighty Aztec Empire. Cortez arrived with just 11 ships, around 600 men, and limited supplies. The odds were completely against him. It was not in his favor. The Aztecs had a massive army and the terrain was unfamiliar and hostile. Many of his men were terrified. Some wanted to turn back. The mission seemed impossible, but Cortez made a radical decision. He gave the order to burn the boats. Not just park them, not just hide them, but burn them and completely destroy him. The message was sent to his men loud and clear. There is no going back. We will fight, we will conquer, or we will die trying. From that point forward, retreat was not an option. The only path left was forward. The soldiers had no choice but to commit. Either they would conquer the enemy, they would die trying, or they would retreat and drown in the ocean behind them. This gospel that Jesus have left us is not one that is loved by the world. It's not a word that is easily accepted by many that claims to be Christians and sinners alike. People have been beaten and killed over this word. In October 2024, Chinese authorities arrested hundreds of members of the Church of Almighty God, and I'm not even going to begin to pronounce the name in Chinese. Hallelujah. Two women in age of 61 and 49 died in custody after suspicious circumstances following alleged torture during their interrogations. In the first half of 2025, raids and crackdowns continued, including police harassment and use of shackles against members of the church, mass raids on Zion church sites in Beijing and other locations, with detentions and property taken, reported by early June 2025. A Christian pastor, Mayan, was tried and recommended for a prison sentence in February 2025 on charges of organizing illegal gatherings. At least 10 Tibetan house church members detained as December 2024. and they were alleged cult-related activities. A steady crackdown throughout 2024 with over 1,559 Christians arrested or sentenced since 2022. There's no number given of how many has been killed out of that 1,500 there. It is not some fairy tale that Christians are dying every day for this gospel. It is not some fairy tale that the preachers and the pastors across this nation will preach about how many were killed back in the day. Listen, we know those that were killed hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years. We know those were killed. And we want to come in every Sunday and just pretend like it's not. Listen, it may not be happening in America, but it is happening across the globe. Thousands and thousands of Christians are being killed on a daily basis, preaching the gospel that Jesus left us. They are trying to do the work of God and they are being killed. And here in America, we've been so spoiled that we don't even show up to church on Sunday half the time. The pastor preaches too long, he preaches too short. He points me out, he steps on my toes. The music is too quiet or it's too loud. She gave a mean look, he gave a mean look. He didn't shake my hand, she didn't shake my hand. All these things, all the excuses, and we won't even show up to church for this reason. And we wonder why there's not a revival that is burning across the land. It's because we've become so spoiled rotten that we can't even show up to church on Sunday and raise our hands and worship God. We'd rather spend time complaining about what so-and-so did to me or how they treated me, or when a lot of the times they didn't even do nothing. At one point, the authority that fuels our commitment. Matthew 28 there says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. Jesus didn't tell us there or tell his disciples to try your best. He said go. He didn't send us out on a limb. His authority guarantees we are not going in vain. Commitment begins when we recognize who is sending us. It's scary to think about the world that is out there. It's scary to think about what could happen. It's scary. It's a scary world, but Jesus sent us a comforter in Acts 2 that would give us boldness. It's a scary world, yes, but God is sending us. God has all authority and all power. And if you have God backing you, I can promise you there's no devil in hell that will come up against you that will stop you. Hallelujah. There's no demon in hell or roaming around on this earth. There's no possessed person that will stop you from preaching the gospel as long as you have the authority that is backing you in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He will not leave us alone. Ask yourself this evening, have I surrendered all the authority to Christ? Have I given the reins of my life? Or am I still the one calling the shots? If Christ has authority over you and your life, it's not about preference. It's not about comfort. All it is going to be about is obedience to God in heaven. When God tells you to talk to that young person and witness to him, I promise you, if you have a sold out life to God and you are obedient to him, you will do it. When God gives you a command, you will do it. When God says witness, you will go. When God says give, you will with no complaints. Or when God tells you to follow his will, you will go. If you are under obedience of Christ Jesus, the reason why things are happening, and the reason why certain things are going on in the world, listen, it is not a coincidence. Why they have a whole month for Pride and they have sin rampant and you can't even go down the street without seeing an advertisement for sin. There's a reason why. It's because the church stopped praying. It's because the church got out of their prayer closets. It's because the church stopped fasting. Listen, I know it's so we can get closer to God, but it's because we lost our commitment for the commission. It's because we lost our commitments for God, and we keep complaining and wondering why. Why in the world is this happening? Why is this going on? If you would spend more time praying about the situation than complaining to your brother or sister in Christ, I promise you the situation would get better. It is a dark world, but you can't be on the front lines fighting for Christ when you won't even heed his commands. I can promise you in World War I and all the world wars, and if the troops did not respect the authority of the commanders above them and the chain of command and the armies and the Marines, I can promise you one thing. We would never have won the fight. We would never have won the war. We have got to understand that it is either obey God or disobey Him. It is either being sold out or not being sold. It is not a yes. It's a yes or no. It's not a maybe. It's not an if. It's not, well, maybe I can live this way. No, it is a yes or no. Two, the reach that demands our commitment. Mark 16, verse 15 says, and he said to them, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Luke 24, 47, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. The gospel is not a private truth for us to keep hidden away to ourselves and to our church families. It is a public message and a public mission that God sent out over 2,000 years ago for us to do and to spread to the whole world. Everyone everywhere deserves to hear the message of Jesus Christ. God's vision includes all nations, all peoples, and all languages. It's time that we start where we are. The workplace for some, going into Walmart, the gas station. I had one when we were in the restaurant the other night. I was walking by and the lady said, you know, I paid for my food. I said, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. She said, oh, I needed that so much. Thank you. Gas station there in Tyner at home. Same thing. Lady walked by. She bumped into me. I'm sorry. I said, all right, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. She turned around. She said, no, my, a lot of people don't say that no more. I'm not saying that to brag on myself. But we have got to get it in our hearts to realize God has sent us on a commission to win souls, to witness to people and tell them about the message of the gospel of Jesus dying on a cross for them that they shall be saved. Listen, it is time. I even joked around to say I'm earning my notes even on the pickleball court. We can still witness to God on the pickleball court. But the reason why we care not to do it no more, God forbid, we get in a place in our lives where we never think about those that are dying and going to hell on a daily, on an hourly basis. If you have gotten to the place in your heart where when you pray in your own land, your prayer closet at home, if you do pray at all, that you forget to mention the sinners of the world, it's time to say, Lord, forgive me. Give me a love back in my heart for those that are not in the church house. Lord, forgive me for not even thinking about the ones that are out there in the world. Lord, forgive me for not even considering them. It is time that we get in our hearts again a love for those that are in the world and the sinners that are out there. Ask God, where else do you want to send me, Lord? Send me to places, Lord. Send me to areas where someone is actually hungry and asking. Send me to that place, Lord. Commitment means saying, wherever you lead, I will go. Tell the Lord, send them my way. Make it inconvenient for me, God, if you have to, but send them my way. I want to tell the message of Jesus Christ. I want to tell what happened on Golgotha's hill where my God sent on a God went up on a hill and died on an old rugged cross. Listen, we have this image of the cross through all pictures of how beautiful and shiny it was and how well polished and stained and it was smooth and the sunlight behind it was glistening and how wonderful it was. Listen, it was wonderful, but not because how pretty it was. It was beautiful, but not because of how polished and stained it was. The reason why it was so beautiful is because God in heaven decided to come down and say, listen, I'm going to be the ultimate sacrifice for my children on earth. I'm going to be the one that pays the price, even though I don't got to, even though I don't need to. I love my children so much, I'm going to come die on a hill called Golgotha. I'm going to die on an old rugged cross, as the pastor preached this morning. He's going to go and he's going to bear himself on a cross for you and me for 2,000 years in the future. Yes. Christians are the worst people to become stuck up noses to the gospel, to the point where they would drown in if it rained. God died for me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to tell a soul. I've seen it. I know it. I know I'm only 22 years old, but I've seen it in my own workplace. I have a Methodist coworker. Me and him talk from time to time. He don't like it when I talk to him too much, but from time to time. Me and him had a disagreement on homosexuality, but I told him, and he made a comment about it, and thank the Lord I convinced him that, you know, homosexuality is wrong. Kind of obvious, but I convinced him. But we were talking, and he made a comment about the Baptists, and he went all off about the Baptists. And he said how divided the Baptists are. They got, you know, five people in their churches, and there's 100 of them everywhere. And I looked at him, and I said, you're going to complain about the Baptists and complain about what you're saying, and yet your own movement can't even decide if homosexuals should be allowed in the pulpit or not. Really. It's not time that you judge the Baptists. I can promise you that much. Christians can become so stuck up in the Christ Jesus and what he did for them that they don't even care to share the gospel to others. Listen, I know there's things that we may disagree with other denominations, but my God, it is time that we find a love in our heart for those that are out in the world. It's time that we stop getting so stuck up and saying, my Lord, my truth is the only truth, and man, this is the right way, and all this. And it's time that we get back on our knees, get back in our prayer closet and say, Father, let me have a love once again for those that are in the world, that you can use me to reach those that are out there, to bring them to an old-fashioned altar and give their life to you. We are not here to coast to the finish line. We are not here to do the bare minimum and get to heaven. I heard someone say, if all I do is make it by the skin of my teeth and the door of heaven, the gates of heaven close right behind me, I'll be okay. I told him, I said, I want to run in there. I want to be miles away from the gate. I don't want to just be barely making it in. I want to be so in tune with God. Listen, it's not in pride. It's I want to be connected with God. That should be our cry. I want to be like David after his own heart. That should be a cry of every single Christian in this church and across the land. We should desire God and we should love him. Not to just do the bare minimum and get to heaven, do the commitment, come out to church and cut the grass, and I did my time of the month, I did it, and come out and just do the bare minimum and say, I'm going to come for VBS to just do. No, we need to love them. I know I hated it. I texted the pastor every night just about how did it go. I was so upset that I couldn't be here with y'all. But when I got here, I saw the love of every single worker and every single member that was here to those children. You may not realize it or not, but that love is a seed that is planted in their hearts. I know we realize that, but for those who don't realize that, that seed is planted in their hearts. That love that was being showed to them is planted in their hearts. I heard the story of an old preacher tell a long time ago about how he had a church, and he went to that church as a little kid, and he was on the pew with them. And years later, you know, he went one way and they went the other way. Come to find out, that person that went the wrong way and went out in the world, that young man was ended up living across the street from the church. And that young man, even though he went out and did other things, or preached other places, he came back and became the pastor of that church. Well, he was cutting the grass and mowing, and eventually the Lord put his heart to go over to that house, and he had no idea who was living in there at the time. And when he went in there, he knocked on the door, and he realized who it was. And he said, I've never forgotten the love that was shown to me at that church across the road. Oh, hallelujah. We are here to spread the love of Christ to all nations, to all people, to all languages. We are here to spread the love of God. The Christian that doesn't know how to love is not a very good Christian. I'll leave that there. The message that God in heaven gave us, that he come down from heaven and he given to us the gospel that we should spread, is a gospel of love. Now listen, I'm not one of those in the modern day that's love, love, love. I call it the love agenda. Oh, we love them so much that their sins are forgiven. We love them so much that their sins are forgiven. Love, 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 it's okay. And they never preach about hell. They never preach about what's wrong or what's right. Listen, I'm not like that. But we have got to understand that before they'll come in the door, when they come in the doors, we can't stick up our noses and say, my, look how they are. Look how they're acting. We have got to find the love back in our hearts and say, come on in how you are. Come on in how you are. Listen to the sermon. Listen to the Sunday school teaching. Listen to this. Listen to this gospel that God gave me to give to you. Listen to what he said. Listen to his teachings. The message that God gave himself as a living sacrifice that we can reign with him forever. Hallelujah. Point three, the power that sustains our commitment. John 20, verse 21 says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And Acts 1, verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." You are not sent alone into this dark and wicked world. There is a power that is from on high that can be with us, that is a free gift to us, and that is the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead will empower us to speak to those that are lost, will empower us to serve to those that are out there, that will empower us to love those that we may not understand everything they've gone through, but it still empowers us to love them nonetheless, and will empower us to lead a holiness life. Hallelujah. We have got to understand that we have got to get in our place in our hearts that will be sold out to God and be committed to him and say, "Lord, wherever you want me to go, I will go." When you read there in Acts chapter 1, or in Luke, he said, "Go and wait and tarry a little bit. Tarry a little bit until you receive power from on high." I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this world is dark. This world is scary. There's wickedness. I know I've repeated it, but it's worth repeating. It is dark and it is wicked and it's scary out there sometimes to see the things that are going on. But there is a power from on high that can empower us, that will give us boldness to talk to those who may not understand, that will give us boldness to witness to those who may be curious, that will give us boldness to witness to those who may be scornful and may be persecuting. Listen, I'm going to say it like I said it at my whole church. I said, if you are not willing to die for Christ, what are you doing? Preacher, to die for the Lord and Savior that died for us? To die for him? Really? Why? I'll tell you why. Because if you are willing to die for God and die for Christ, you will do anything that he asks you. If you are willing to go as far as giving your life for him, you will go as far as going down the street and knocking on doors and trying to bring people in. You won't be scared to talk to the person that is behind you in line and saying, "Man, how God is good today, ain't he?" He will not be scared to listen. I know sometimes it can be tough. I remember at the old church, we'd always go knock on doors and try to sell stuff and Krispy Kreme donuts and different things like that. Listen, and sometimes it would be awful. I'm just going to be honest with you. It would be all knock on doors and 5 o'clock at night, "Hey, I know I'm interrupting your supper, but you know, we got chicken plates to sell." It can, you watch them come from the door, come from their supper. Me and Brother Matthew, we used to hate it all the time because he's like, "Man," not that Matthew, another Matthew. But we said, "Man, I tell you, I hate interrupting people's supper. I can't, I just," well, I remember one time we got down to about 3 tickets and I said, "Look, you split half, I split half, let's go home." But we have got to get to a place where we dwell in the power of God, where we have boldness to not be scared of what the Lord is telling us to do when he is telling us to witness to somebody or to talk to them. We have got to understand there's a power in heaven that has come down that will give us the words to speak to that certain individual, to give us the words to talk to them, that we can resonate with them and they will understand everything that we're saying. Hallelujah. I had someone come up while we were working in Edenton there, and we were putting the gas line in, and my coworker went in to talk to somebody and the customer, and we just finished up. I packed everything up on the truck, and a homeless guy walked up to me and he said, "Hey, man, you got $5 on you?" I said, "No, I don't carry cash." I said, "But I'll tell you what I'll do. How about I pray for you? That's just as good as money." And obviously, "Oh, yeah, yeah, come on, let's pray for me." And I prayed for him. And he looked up at me and he said, "Man, people don't do that nowadays. People don't do that no more. You don't see that nowadays. Most people just ignore. Listen, I understand there's fake people out there that'll pretend like they're poor and they use their nice fancy phone. They'll go get in a nice car somewhere and travel off. I've seen that personally there in Elizabeth City, right there at Walmart. I've seen that actually happen. That's not a made up story. But we have got to get it in our hearts again to love the sinner that is out in the world and finally be committed to the commission that God gave us in the Gospels and Acts. Listen, are you relying on the Spirit? Or are you relying on your own ability? Have you asked God to fill you with boldness, clarity, and compassion? Or are you just happy going on about how you are? Four practical ways to stay committed. I'm almost done, I promise. You can go ahead and come to the piano. I told you I wasn't long-winded, hallelujah. Four ways, practical ways to stay committed. Daily devotion. Stay close to Jesus so your heart stays aligned with Him. Praying daily, getting in the Word daily, understanding the gospel, understanding His message so we can give it to those. Getting on our knees saying, Lord, give me the power. God, give me the strength. God, help me. Lord, touch me. Intentional evangelism. Share your story. Invite others into the house of God. How many people look back on your life in the last month? Listen, half of the year is already gone. It is crazy to think about. In a couple months, we'll be 1 year married. It's crazy to think about. It's a year is almost gone. How many people in the last year have you gone out of your way to text, call, or even talk to and invite them to the church house? Three, pray for the nations. Keep your heart soft for the lost. Keep your heart in tune with what's going on in the world and saying, Lord, I pray that you compel them to come in. I pray that you lead them my way so I can invite them to the church house. I pray you just give me enough power that I'll talk to them, Lord. I pray that you just give me enough unction in my heart that I will go out and talk to them. Hallelujah. Obeying promptings. Listen, and I'm going to say this carefully. When the Spirit nudges you. Say it one more time for the back. When the Spirit nudges you, not yourself, not your heart, when the Spirit nudges you to speak or to act, a lot of the reasons why, as she begins to play, the church world is like it is, is because we have not obeyed God, as we have stopped obeying Him and listening to His voice. We have stopped obeying His prompting. And when He is telling us to do something, we just don't do it because we're not obeying Him. We want to act like it. We want to talk like it. But like I said in the beginning of the message, it's one thing to say. It is another thing to do. Again, when the Spirit nudges you, it is time to obey Him. What is the conclusion? Are you committed to the commission? I know this is carnal. Listen, it's carnal. Carnality is not sinful. Amen. The New York Giants theme during their improbable 2007 Super Bowl run was emphasized by the phrase, all in. This rallying cry originated from a chapel message delivered by an inspirational speaker there, the chaplain for the New York Giants, Jean-Paul Gonzalez, to the team, urging them to be all in all aspects of their lives, including their commitment as football players. It was just a normal Sunday. It was just a normal chapel service. But the coach of that team said, I like that. So after they won their final game and got in and squeaked into the playoffs, they come in the locker room and notice a message above the door saying, all in. Now listen, I know it's carnality, but listen, this team was not good. This team should not have been where they were, but they found themselves into the playoffs to make a run for the Super Bowl. But that door, that sign showed up on their door, all in. And they would go on to win three straight games to make it to the Super Bowl, to play better teams. and they would go in to face the ultimate team, the undefeated Patriots at 17-0. Never lost a game. It was in the headlines. David versus Goliath. A team that shouldn't even made it. We're now making it into the first team ever to make it as a wild card team into the Super Bowl. We're there to face the Giants. All in was their rallying cry. Listen, come back. Jesus did not come here and gave us a commission to part-time followers of him. We know full-time workers and part-time workers. 20 hours and 40 hours. I'm going to ask you this evening, are you a 40-hour Christian? Are you a 20-hour Christian? Are you fully serving God and fully ready to go when God leads you somewhere or tells you to do something? Are you only part-time tuned into what he wants you to do? Part-time tuned in when he is nudging you to do something? Listen, he didn't call us to comfort and to relax on the pews, if you can do that, or to relax on our recliners at home or our couches and our bed sheets. He didn't call us to comfort. He called us to obedience, and he called us to spread his teaching and his message. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Are you committed to the commission? Are you all in? You look at that world out there through the windows, through the doors, and walk out and see. On the way over here, it's funny, I know, but on the way over here, that beautiful smell of Hampton seeped right into our car. Listen, I live in Tyner, all I smell is animals, amen. But we look out there at a world, and that world's so big. That world is so tall and it's so wide. And we look at the ratio and the scale, oh my. Oh my. It reminds me of the story of Elijah all down in the dumps. How many, Lord? How many? Look at Baal, he's so big. We're outnumbered. I have those that you don't even know about. Hallelujah. 7,000 that you don't even know about. Listen, there is Christians across this world. We can look at the world and we can look right here in Hampton and Newport News and all through the area. And we can see for all the way to Virginia Beach and even down to where I live in Tyner, North Carolina. We can look and see, even though it might not be as many as here, there's still souls down there. That world is big. It's round. It's tall. It's wide. The devil's out there. He's raging. He's seeking to and fro whom he may devour. Listen, he's out there. And it's big and it's tall and it's scary. But I'm telling you what, I'm all in. Hallelujah. Can you say that this evening? I'm all in. I'm ready to commit to the commission that God has told me to do. Listen, he told the disciple back there. He told the disciple thousands of years ago, but it's still just as true today. He is asking us and telling us, go to the four corners of the world and spread the gospel. Go out there and tell them about my story. Go out there and tell them about what happened on a cross 2,000 years ago. Go out there and tell them about the love that I showed to you and I have shown to this world. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, and we all know it. It's not easy. They'll laugh. They're going to mock. They're going to make fun. I hear it all the time at work, but can I tell you, just let them make fun. That's all right with me. Just go ahead and pick and prod and do what you got to do. I'm still going to show you the love that God showed us on the cross. I'm still going to show you the love that he's commanded me to love you with. We have got to have open hearts that is ready to cry out to those that are out there. Hallelujah. As we all stand across the building, I promise you, I told you I'm not long-winded at all. I want to say I'm sorry if I stepped on toes, but I'm not. I told Brother Shane before church, I said, man, sometimes I wish I could just come in here and I just could come in here this evening and just tell you about heaven. We can all shout across the building. Oh, hallelujah. But we have got to find that love for God again, that we can spread it to the world. We have got to find that love and be committed to Him again. I'm not saying nobody's in here is backslidden and going, I'm not saying that. Please believe me, I'm not saying that. But I am going to tell you, I know from my own experiences, I find times where I am lacking commitment to God. I have found those times when I realized, Lord, I haven't prayed as much as I should have this week. I haven't read your word as much as I should have. Lord, let me be committed to you so I could be committed to the commission that you've given to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we come and find a place to pray this evening, oh, let that be your heart's cry. God, I will be committed to you so I can go out and spread this gospel to the people that you came and died for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.